Amen. The book of Numbers, chapter 12, please. I'd ask you to turn to it. We're going to take our text just from the first verse of the book of Numbers, chapter 12. It's a very interesting little incident that's found in the life of Moses and his brother and his sister. It's part of the wilderness wanderings of the people of God. Numbers 12 and 1, it says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman." Think of the words, especially at the beginning of the verse. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. A few years ago, I received a letter in the post. It's not the only letter of this nature that I have received in the years of my ministry. I suppose one redeeming feature of this letter is that it was one of those letters that the person at least had signed their name to. Sometimes letters come without any signature upon them at all. But I received this letter in the post. It was about a message I had printed in one of the newspapers a few years back. The letter was from a Christian, from a believer, not encouraging us in the Lord's work, not thanking us for the messages that were published in the press, but actually criticizing the contents of one of those messages. It wasn't a very nice letter, as you can appreciate. This brother accused me of being unscriptural, accused me of being Arminian, because I warned people not to wait until tomorrow to get saved. That was the core. That was the burden of the criticism that he lodged against us. The man, of course, was way off the mark. There's nothing wrong, nothing unscriptural about warning people to get saved today. And if you're unsaved, if you're out of Christ, if you're not right with the Lord, then I want to stress to you, it's vital that you do that this very day. This is the only day that you or any of us are sure of. This is salvation's day. Tomorrow is damnation's day. So I urge you, if you're out of Christ, to come to the Saviour today. But what I want to ask you to do, thinking of those newspaper messages and all other outreaches, pray that God would give us more positive feedback. Not the critical sort, the encouraging sort. You pray, we encourage you on Thursday night to pray for doors of utterance to be opened. We'll pray that God will give us encouragement as the word goes forth, that we'll hear of it being used and souls being saved. But what I want to stress, the reason I told you that story is because that letter is an example of the fact that when you're in the Lord's work, your efforts and your ministry will often get criticized. Isn't it strange, brethren and sisters? And I wonder, is that how you find yourself today? As you've come to the meeting, the things you've done earnestly, sincerely, they've been slandered and they have been ridiculed. Well, I want to point out to you that that is nothing new. That's something that has been happening for thousands of years, brethren and sisters. And that's what's happening here in this chapter. That's what this portion of God's word is all about. Moses was criticized. He was criticized for what he had done. His position, his authority, it was called into question. And that's what we're going to study just for a few minutes this morning. Criticism when you're in the Lord's work, and especially the consequences upon the testimony of Christ of that criticism, especially being lodged by God's people. Notice firstly the person. It says in verse 1, Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Who was it that was criticized in the camp of Israel, brethren and sisters? Which person was the subject of this murmuring campaign. It was Moses, the man of God. Not the mixed multitude, not the rebels in the camp. They were the ones that actually criticized Moses. In other words, what that means is they criticized the leader of the work. They criticized the man who was in the leadership position of God's people. Can I put it to you this morning as a congregation? What is your attitude today? What is your attitude today, especially towards the leaders in the church, the elders, the deacons of the congregation? Do you pray for them? Do you praise them? Do you encourage them? Do you support them in all that they seek to do for the furtherance of the gospel here in this place? Or do you run them down? Maybe tear them to pieces in private when you're gathered with some others. Criticize what they've done, what they've not done, how things are carried out. What is your attitude, brethren and sisters, to the leaders of the work? If you're a criticizer, can I ask you the question this morning? What are you doing in the service of Christ? You know, it's easy to sit on the sidelines, easy to sit as a spectator and attack those who are working, attack those who are doing something. Often, those who criticize the most are the ones that do the least. What are you doing in the service of Christ here in this locality? There was a missionary conference took place once in Shanghai. And a man that was attending that with others from his church, he said to his own pastor, he was going to be of no use in the church because he said he had only one talent. You can imagine that the pastor tried to encourage him until he found out what the man was thinking of as his one talent. And that was criticizing. And I wonder, brethren and sisters, are you like that? There are Christians, and that's the only talent they display. The talent of being a criticizer in the Church of Jesus Christ. Do you know what that pastor told that man to do with that talent? He told him to do with what the man in the parable did, to go and bury it. And you need to do the same. I urge you, brethren and sisters, bury that critical spirit. You consider the question found there at the end of verse 8 of the chapter. It says, wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? These are the words of the Lord to Aaron and to Miriam. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? You ought to be afraid, brethren and sisters, as Christians. You should be afraid to criticize, afraid to speak against God's servants. Remember, if a leader has hurt you, a leader of the church, if they've offended you, if they've wronged you, or you feel you've been wronged in any way, then follow the scriptural procedure and how you deal with that. It's laid down in Matthew chapter 18. And the first thing in that scriptural procedure is you go to the person privately. You're not to gossip about them. You're not to slander them behind back. In fact, the teaching of that portion is you're not to say a word about them, not to anybody. Not even to the minister, to the oversight of the church. You're to go yourself and speak to them about the matter. That's the first step. And the same is true when you have a problem with any other Christian, any other believer, either in this church or in any other. So that's the person that was criticized. Think about the people. Who were the people that criticized Moses? Who were those that launched the ferocious attack upon the Lord's servant? Well, it wasn't Pharaoh or the Moabites or the Canaanites. It was none of those people that could be viewed as the enemies of God and of God's people. The people were Miriam and Aaron. Now think of it, just take it in. Moses received this criticism from his own brother and from his own sister, members of his own family. And how sad that is, brethren and sisters. How grieving and devastating that must have been for the Lord's servant. He was wounded, as the Bible says, in the house of his friends. You think of Joseph, the son of Jacob, telling his brothers of his dreams, what God had revealed to him about the future, and they ridiculed him. His own brothers, they put him down, and they described him with words such as, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." You think of the Saviour. Do you remember when the multitudes were following the Lord Jesus, attending to his ministry, beholding his miracles? Do you remember what his kinsmen and his relatives said about him? He's besides himself. In other words, what they meant was, he's mad. Even the Lord Jesus criticized by his own family members. You think of David when he brought back the ark to Jerusalem, full of zeal, full of praise for God. And the Bible says that his wife despised him in her heart. She couldn't wait until he got home to tell him what she thought about him, so she went out to meet him. She went up the road to meet him coming. And the first thing she did was lambasted her own husband. How glorious was the King of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. It was caustic criticism from the lips of his own wife. You think of Mr. Spurgeon, the great downgrade controversy that took place in the Baptist Union. He made a stand for God when the Baptist Union of the 19th century departed from the faith of the gospel. Spurgeon, along with others, was attacked and vilified. And you know men and women who actually led the attack against Spurgeon and those that made their stand for God. It was Charles Spurgeon's own brother. That was something that broke his heart, the heart of the great preacher. Many have been wounded in the house of their friends. But isn't it sad, brethren and sisters? Sad but true. Those that often hurt us the most are the ones that we love the most, ones that are the dearest and closest to us in this world. The New Testament says a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Is that true of you today? Maybe you're an enemy to your own household, to your own family. You've been attacked by your own family as you seek to walk with God and seek to serve the Master. They don't help you on in the things of God. What they've been doing is holding you back. Maybe that's what you've been doing yourself. You've attacked your own family, haven't helped them. You've held them back as they've sought to serve God and go on with Him. Shame on you if that is the case, my friend. Remember this, brethren and sisters. Think of Numbers chapter 12. The Lord has a record of it all. The Lord recorded for posterity what Miriam and Aaron did to Moses. And He will record what you did as well, brethren and sisters. You see those solemn words there at the end of verse 2? I'd like you to look at them. Maybe even mark it in your Bible. Right at the end of the verse, it says the Lord heard it. Will you ponder that carefully this morning, brethren and sisters? Every bit of criticism, every bit of murmuring that you have done about the church and the witness of the gospel and against the leaders of the church, remember the Lord heard it. No matter who else heard it, never forget that the Lord heard it. And He has recorded it, just as He recorded what Miriam and Aaron did. He has recorded it. It didn't go unnoticed. It certainly didn't go unnoticed in heaven. The people. You think in the third place about the problem. Think of verses 1 and 2. It says that Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Look at this. It's an interesting part of Moses' life. Because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they had said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. You know what the problem here was, brethren and sisters? You know why Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses? The reason was jealousy. The green-eyed monster. Envy. They were jealous of Moses. And jealous of the position that the Lord had given to him. They thought that they were every bit as good as he was. We speak for the Lord too, was their attitude. You see, their problem was they weren't content with what God had given to them. Remember the words of the New Testament, be content with such things as you have. And that includes, brethren and sisters, the position God has given to you. If he opens doors to lead you into greater opportunities, into more responsible positions, rejoice in that. But until that day comes, be content with such things as you have. You see, these people weren't content to take second place to Moses. They weren't content with the place that God had given to them in his work. They were jealous of him. Can I point out what those words in verse 1 mean? That is that Moses had just married for the second time. It says, and look at the repetition, because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. The fact of his marriage is repeated. It's emphasized. It's stressed. Zipporah had died. We don't know when. No mention of that in the scriptures. But Moses had married again. Married an Ethiopian woman. And as often is the case, his remarriage didn't go down well in the family. You see, Miriam, his sister, was now eclipsed. The new wife got more, maybe all of the attention. She was now the new attraction. The new attraction in the family. Miriam wasn't as prominent. She lost the prestige that she had previously. And that was the problem. Jealousy, brethren and sisters. Can I ask you this morning, do you have this problem? You have to be at the top. Like Diotrephes that we read about in 3 John, you love to have the preeminence. You have to be the one that's always seen, always to the fore. And you're jealous. Jealous of those that are more prominent. Jealous of those that have a greater position, maybe more authority in the church than you have. Can I say to you today, if that is your condition and your attitude, beware. Because jealousy can destroy you and destroy your service for Christ. You think of this woman, Miriam. Did you know there's only one other time that you read of Miriam in the Bible after this? And you know when that is? At her death. You see what happened, men and women? She lost her usefulness. She was never again used by the Lord, never again to the fore in the work of the Lord. So I say to you again, beware of a jealous heart. Sometimes when there's a marriage in the family, it can bring about trouble. Trouble between maybe a mother and a daughter-in-law, or a father and a son-in-law, and so on. And because of the same thing that we're reading about here, the mother maybe no longer has the full attention of her son. There's a young wife that now has all the attention of the boy. And the mother can get jealous, or vice versa, or whatever way it might be. You see, we need to beware of that jealous streak and the difficulties, the problems that it can pose. Peter said, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. We'd have done with all of those things, brethren and sisters. They ought not to be a part of the character or the life of the child of God. Think in the fourth place of a very solemn part of this story, the punishment. You look there at the middle of verse 10 of the portion. It tells us that Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And I want you to see, men and women, I want you to see clearly, note it carefully. This criticism was punished, not by Moses, but by the Lord himself. And the Lord punished it severely, because Miriam became a leper. She was punished with sickness. She was given what was at that time an incurable disease. And that lets you see just how serious this sin, the sin of Miriam and Aaron, was in God's sight. One thing you learn here, brethren and sisters, is the Lord uses sickness to chastise the sins and the waywardness of his people. Now let me stress, not all sickness is a punishment. I want to make that perfectly clear to you. But sometimes that is the case. If you think of what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you. Notice the word many there. Many in the church at Corinth, weak and sickly. The reason was they hadn't dealt with their sins. So the Lord had to deal with them. The Lord had to chastise them. And he used sickness. And the verse even goes on to say that he used death. Many are sick and are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And that is the sleep of death that is mentioned there. God uses sickness as a punishment or a chastisement for his people. A question that's often asked about this passage is, why did the Lord just punish Miriam? Remember that Aaron was involved in the attacks upon Moses as well. Why did Aaron not become a leper also? Well, the answer is, there's maybe a couple of things at least could be said, but the most prominent one is this. Because Miriam was the one that had instigated the criticism. Did you notice in verse 1 that Miriam is named first? Notice the order of the names. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Miriam was the one that started the criticism of God's servant. And the word spake that's used there, it helps to strengthen that idea, because the word spake is feminine in the original. It's she spake. Miriam was the leader of this attack. You see, Aaron was the sort of man that was weak and pliable. You could really call him Mr. Pliable. That was his character right through his life. Do you remember the occasion in Exodus 32 of the making of the golden calf? How easily he was influenced by the people. That's the sort of man Aaron was. He had followed his sister's lead on this occasion. And that's why Miriam was punished. But you know, brethren and sisters, it must be said that that is often the case. Some women, some Christian women, have a very bad influence upon their home and a very bad influence upon their family. You only have to think of Rebecca in the Old Testament. You think of how she influenced the family to deceive each other. Remember, she was the one that led Jacob in that deception of Isaac as to who he actually was. A sinful influence upon her own family. You think of Jezebel, how she stirred up her husband to do that which was evil in God's sight. It is often the case, brethren and sisters, that women have a very bad influence upon their home. Can I ask you this morning, are you like that? Do you stir up and lead your loved ones to do things that you know to be wrong? You stir them up and you use the influence, the authority that you have, even to lead them into deception. Just as we are considering the sins of women, can I ask the women in the meeting especially, what sort of influence do you have upon the home, the family? What sort of influence do you have on your brother? We're thinking here of Miriam and Aaron, brother and sister. What sort of influence do you have upon your brother or your brothers or your sisters? What sort of influence do you have upon your husband in the things of God? Are you maybe the reason, the cause that he's not going on with the Lord as he should? What sort of influence, what sort of example do you set for your children? Is it one that is spiritual or one that is carnal? You know, there's a very interesting reference to Miriam in the book of Deuteronomy. This is what it says. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam. May the Lord write that in your heart today. In the New Testament, the Savior said we're to remember Lot's wife. But here's another woman the Bible exhorts us to remember. When you're tempted to criticize, brethren and sisters, to ridicule, to undermine the efforts that have been made in the cause of the gospel, then you remember what happened to Miriam. You remember how she was punished. You remember what the consequences were for her in her life. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam. One other thing I want you to notice, and that's the prayer. Look there at verse 13 of the portion. It says, Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Can I stress to you, men and women, that Moses was a great man? In fact, Dr. Cook, Dr. S.B. Cook, in his judgment, Moses was next to Christ, the greatest man ever to live. One of the reasons he would have given to support that was that in heaven, the Bible tells us, that they sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. He's the only other name in heaven that is associated with the name of Christ in the worship of the saints of God. He certainly was a great man. And here you see a level of his greatness. Because the only response that Moses gave to the criticism, and there's a lesson here for us all, brethren and sisters, and how we ought to react. The only response that Moses gave to the criticism was to pray. He brought it to God. And he didn't pray for himself. What he did was he prayed for his accusers. And he didn't pray as he prayed for his accusers that the judgment of God might come upon them. No, he prayed for God's blessing. And he prayed for God's healing. Do you remember James and John, the sons of thunder? They wanted the fire of God to come down upon the Samaritans. And if we're honest, brethren and sisters, we often feel like that. When people grieve us, when they talk about us, when they upset us, we would want the fire of God and judgment to come down upon those people. But Moses didn't call for the fire of God from heaven. What Moses did, men and women, was he prayed that God would bless his sister. And he prayed that God would heal her. Remember the words in the Song of Solomon? Jealousy is cruel as the grave. And there's not a doubt about that, men and women. Any of you that have been on the wrong end, the receiving end of jealousy, you know how cruel. You know how bitter it can be. And Miriam and Aaron were very cruel to their brother in what they did. Remember, he was their younger brother. But Moses didn't respond in kind. He didn't respond like that. He didn't respond with that sort of cruelty. He responded with kindness. In fact, what we could have to call the ultimate kindness, because he prayed the Lord would spare Miriam's life. Remember, it was an incurable disease. And I want you to remember what Paul said in the Romans. These things are written for our learning. All these events in the Old Testament, God wants us to learn here. And what we learn, brethren and sisters, is we're to pray for the sick. His prayer in verse 13 was, Heal her now. You're thinking of loved ones not well. Here's a prayer to offer. Heal her now. Think of James, pray one for another that you might be healed. We're to pray for the sick. And you also learn here you're to pray for your enemies. There's a Christian said on one occasion, two boys had upset him. Lord, let me backslide for 5 minutes while I sort these pair of boys out. You might feel like that at times, but we're not to act like that. We're to pray for our enemies. I say unto you, Lord, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's what Moses did. Can I ask, brethren and sisters, what do you do? What do you normally do when others attack you, criticize you, your work? Sincerely, genuinely, going about the Lord's work, your earnest efforts, and it's criticized. How do you respond? Well, here's how you should respond. By bringing them to the Lord in prayer. Can I say this in closing? Look at verse 15 of the portion. Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days. And the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. You know, it's generally thought, and maybe this has been your outlook, your attitude, it's generally thought that criticism isn't really that very serious. If I criticize some other Christian, if I criticize the leaders of the work, well, it doesn't really do much harm to the church or the testimony of the gospel. Can I underline for you how wrong that is, brethren and sisters? You see what happened here in this instance? Here's one of the serious consequences of the criticism. The journey to Canaan was halted. The progress of the children of Israel, the progress with regard to their onward march to the promised land, it was stopped. And it was stopped for a whole week, 7 days. No progress was made by the whole camp of Israel for 7 days. They didn't continue in their journey until Miriam was brought back into the camp. And that was 1 week later. And the lesson, brethren and sisters, it's so clear. It stares us in the face. Criticism can hinder God's work. You maybe ask, why is the work here not going on better? Why are we not seeing more done? Why are we not seeing more progress in the cause of the gospel? Well, can I ask you, is it because of your tongue? Is it because of your critical spirit amongst God's people and about God's people? Is that the hindrance, brethren and sisters? So easy to sit and criticize everybody else. But maybe the real cause of the hindrance is in your own heart and in your own life. That they had to halt for 7 days. 7 days without any progress. I suppose in the scheme of things it's not very much. When you think of the 40 years they wandered. But let me ask, how many weeks, maybe months, could it be years? How many weeks has it been that this work has been halted and hindered? The progress hasn't been made that ought to have been made. And the reason, men and women, is nothing more than the fact of the critical spirit found in the hearts, the lives, vented through the tongues and the lips of God's people. Is that the reason? Brethren and sisters, grieve the Lord. Grieve the Spirit. Caused him to withdraw his presence and his blessing from us. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. What solemn lessons, brethren and sisters. What solemn consequences there were from that. I pray the Lord will write this word upon every heart today.